Tonight is Sunday, the 18th day of July, 2004, and the Sunday night speakers meeting of Narcotics Anonymous welcomes our second speaker, Wendy.
Hi, my name is Wendy and I'm an addict.
Hi, Wendy.
And first of all, I want to thank Jim for asking me to come and share tonight. I want to say hi and welcome to all the people in Costa Rica and Shanghai. That is like almost so overwhelming to me that it almost like chokes me up. I don't know about anybody else in this room, but that is just, it's huge. I've been around here for a long, long time, long before I ever got clean, and I remember when they were writing the basic text. So to know that we're being taped tonight so that it can be put on the internet so people in other countries can listen to it is just very, very huge, and it's very wonderful, and it's a great thing how we've grown. But also I wanted to say, Tony, too, I'm really glad you shared first. I mean, I don't know you at all, and you know, when almost so much of what you said, you know, was my story. You know, I actually got clean through the first Gulf War. You know, I got clean in February of 91. And I remember, and I was detoxing from, I had detox methadone, and after my last dose, I was like awake for 40 days. And it was all through the Gulf War, and I was awake, you know, 24 hours a day, and I was so grateful that there was something going on in the world. But the TV, there was always something going on, and between cleaning and being sick and watching, you know, the Gulf War, that at that point was like meaningless to me, it was just something to watch. You know, that's what I did. And you know, and I was in prison too, you know, and it's interesting, you were talking about being in fire camp. When I was asking Jim about what I should share about, he was telling me that, you know, I could talk about, you know, being of service and, you know, some of the service work that I've done. And one of the things that I've done in recovery is that, you know, I've had a panel at the women's prison in Malibu, you know, for, I guess it's probably close to six years now. And when I was in prison, I refused to go to fire camp. You know, I went through the training, and when, you know, it came time to go up in the hill and actually, like, learn how to fight the fire, you know, I was one of those, you know, rebellious, dope fiends that was like, you know, fuck this, you know, you're not sending me to prison to work, you know, I'm not going to let my time do me, I'm going to do my time, you know, and I sat down and made them, you know, haul me out, and where I, you know, ended up doing my time in the kitchen, which is where I wanted to be. So it's interesting you're talking about fire camp, and now I have this, you know, panel in the women's prison in the fire camp, you know, and I hold that very close to me, and I think it's very ironic how my life has turned around that's where I am. But so much of what's shared. My birthday is also in 2 weeks. My birthday is in 2 weeks. Yours is in a week. Mine is in 2 weeks. And just so many different things. You talked about a relationship, you know. I you know, breaking up. And I'll tell you a little bit about what happened to me is that, you know, I was introduced to this program in 1975. And I was very young. And I got introduced to the program through my cousin who had just gotten out of prison. And she was my role model. And I wanted to shoot dope like her and hang out with the big boys. And I wanted to be one of those stand-up dope fiends that, you know, could, you know, hold my mud and do my time. And I was always the youngest one. You know, I was always the youngest one. And I fought the hardest to prove, you know, how much heart I had, you know. And what happened for me, you know, and I did all of my using, you know. I grew up in the valley, you know. I had, you know, from all outward appearances, you know, I grew up in a nice neighborhood. I always looked okay on the outside, and inside I was a mess, you know. And I truly did all of my using in, like, East L.A. I used it very briefly, and then literally in Skid Row. I did all my using in Skid Row. And I know I don't look like that, you know. I know I don't look like that, and people are always surprised. They go, you're kidding, you know. I did all of my using in Skid Row, in piss in the sink hotels, in and out of jail, and in and out of prison. And that's the way I wanted to use. I used there because that's where I wanted to use. It wasn't like that's what happened to me. I chose to use that way. I chose to be homeless. I chose to use, you know, to use that way. And I used 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I did not go to work. I did not take care of my child. I gave my child to my family. I devoted every waking breath of life to shooting dope and committing crimes in order to support my habit. And I used for 24 years. And what finally happened for me was that I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I no longer had the heart to do it anymore. And I did, you know, I did it all. I mean, from panhandling to committing armed robberies. There was nothing that I wouldn't do. You know, there was nothing I wouldn't, short of telling on somebody, there was nothing I wouldn't do. I absolutely was going to do whatever I needed to do to eat or to, you know, to do whatever. And I, what happened for me was that it just stopped working. And I came in and out and in and out. And like I said, I was introduced to this program in 75. And I didn't get it, and I was also in a treatment center, and I didn't get it, and I used the whole time I was in that treatment center. You know, I was in cry help, and I didn't get it, and what happened, you know, was that finally in 88, the last time I paroled, I came to the West Side area, and I moved in with my aunt, who was, you know, in the other fellowship. And the thing for me is that, I still didn't get it. I did exactly what you talked about. I moved somebody in, and I thought that they were going to make me okay. You know, I thought that they would make me okay, and I thought that I would, you know, I would... I don't know what I thought. It certainly didn't work. I don't know really what I thought. It didn't work. And I ended up, you know, he wasn't clean, and I ended up getting loaded. And it took me 11 months to get back. And like I said, when I did get back, you know, when I did finally get back, I, at that point, became willing to do whatever I needed to do in order to stay clean. And you know, I'll tell you something, 13 years later, I think I am more committed to being clean today than I even was through the years between like 5 and 10. Because I went through a lot of years of thinking, you know, I had my head totally up my ass. I walked around here and I thought, I drive a nice car, I have a good job, I got the old man who, you know, makes a good living, I look okay on the outside, I can go in, you know, and shop till I drop, and who are you to tell me? I got it all together. I got my kid back in my life, and I got a sponsor, and I got sponsees, and I got it going on. And what happened for me was that, when I hit about 9 years clean, I thought, I have fucking hit my head in the wall. I am going to die if I don't make some changes. I'm absolutely going to fucking die if I don't make some changes. I am fucking dying inside. I am dying inside. I am fucking dying inside. Our denial runs so fucking deep that we convince ourselves, I mean, I get chills thinking about it. You know, I convince myself that, you know, I'm fucking Donna Reed. I am not fucking Donna Reed. I rebelled about that shit from day one. I never, from the day I remember breathing a breath of life, I never wanted to be a Stepford wife. I never wanted to push a fucking tram. I never wanted to wear the Zales ring. I never wanted the old man and to live in the suburbs. I wanted tattoos. I liked the bad boys with the mustaches. I liked the girls that looked like little boys. I wanted to hang out, you know, and take Reds and drink Night Train and, you know, and smoke cigarettes. And that's what I wanted to be. And here I was forcing myself into be something that I wasn't because I thought that it would fill that fucking gaping hole in my gut and it would make me okay. And you know, what I believe is that you can go along for so long and do, I was doing the best work I was capable of doing. And what happened was that I realized I needed to do more. I needed more. And at 9 years clean, I got a different sponsor. And it was very hard because if you're like me, I'm a people pleaser. I am very worried about what you're going to think about me. And I had a sponsor who I knew was going to yell at me. And she did. She did. It became all about her. All about her. How could I do that? You know, blah, 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 blah. And I, you know when you're sitting there and you're taking that last, you know, whatever it is that you do, and it's like, I cannot fucking do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore. It was like, it didn't matter. It was like, I was ready to take my licks. I didn't care. I couldn't do it anymore. I needed something different. And I called that new person that I wanted to be my sponsor that I didn't want for years because she was like tough and she was like mean and she would like put her foot in my ass. And I didn't need that. I hurt myself enough. I don't need somebody to tell me what to do, you know. And I knew at 9 years clean I did. I knew I did. And, you know, and she was like, well, you know, you kind of do it another way. And I'm not really thinking I really want to sponsor you. And, you know, I did with her what I did for many years with heroin. I think I used heroin like 18 years. You know, I did with her what I did with heroin. I called her, and I called her, and I called her, and I called her, and I called her, until finally she said, well, I guess we will do this. You know, I said, I'm willing to do, if you don't dance, I don't dance. They could be giving me $1 million, I don't dance. I said, I'm willing to get on the tabletop and dance if you want me to dance. I will do anything. She said, you're going to start over from step one, and you're going to write your ass off, and you're going to get honest, and you're going to stop lying. And that's very hard for an addict like me. And, you know, you said something that really touched me. You know, about the change and stuff. And, you know, the thing that I want to say is, you know, there is hope when we do change around here. It takes a lot of fucking work, and we have to want to change. And for me, what I've realized is that I'm one of those addicts that I look okay on the outside. I go to work every day. You know, I would never be late. I would never miss a day of work. I would never talk back to my boss. But I'm one of those sneaky, underhanded, lying, manipulating, stealing quarters, you know, little lipstick, you know, the bullshit kind of stuff. The bullshit kind of stuff. I'm not one of those overtly a bull in a china shop. I'm one of those sneaky, lying, you know, look into your eyes and tell you what you want to hear, and I know it's not the truth. I know it's not the truth. And I know that I have to do it because if I don't, things won't turn out the way I want because I have an agenda. You know, I have an agenda. And I'll tell you, the last 4 years I have gotten more in touch with that kind of stuff. And for me, what happened was, you know, I'd been married all these years, and I'm not married anymore. You know, I went to, you know, a year ago to this weekend, my husband moved out. And you know, I'm incredibly sad about that. You know, I'm incredibly, incredibly sad about that. You know, and I did not have to get loaded behind it. I did not have to get loaded behind it. But what I did have to do is, I did have to walk in here, and I had to, I've had to get honest, and I've had to show my ass. And, you know, if you're like me, what happens is that your ego becomes so overwhelmingly huge that it's like, I can't go in and tell the truth because what are people going to think of me? You know, what are people going to think of me if I really say, you know, my marriage isn't working, and I'm a liar, and, you know, I'm not as hot as I think I am, you know, and the other side of it is, if I don't start to get honest, I'm going to get loaded because I can't live like this anymore, you know. And for months, I walked around.